Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
Where the Bible says, when Jesus comes again, will he find faith in the earth? Because either this faith that we've been singing about and preaching about has brought us to this moment where we use it, or otherwise, everything we've been singing, preaching, praying about is for absolute naught. It's all been a show.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
We pray this study in the book of Nehemiah has been a blessing to you. Let's continue with Pastor Rogers as he takes us back into this message series. This is a study from the book of Nehemiah, Rebuild, Part 3.
Here they are, four lepers, and said, we can't go in the city because the enemy's in the city, and if we stay out here, we're going to die. And they came to the conclusion, and so they rose up in their leprosy and went in. Now listen, boy, I feel like preaching now. When they got up and started walking towards the city, the Bible says that God stuck a microphone down at their feet. I'm just paraphrasing, and amplified the action of these four. Listen, they're probably one of them might only had one leg. Come on, he's hopping on the other. There may have been only four legs walking down there. They might have been carried, but whatever that it was, it sounded like a massive army to the enemies that were inside of the city. Whenever you take a step of faith, God's going to amplify that and go before you and make a way where there seems to be no way. He's waiting on us. And so these fellows, Sanballat and Tobiah. Sanballat was the governor of Samaria. And he came up first. He was like the ringleader. He did a lot of talking. Tobiah was like his little imp. You'll see it in a few moments. Sanballat takes the first shot, and then Tobiah comes along and said, yeah, what he said. Sanballat is the governor of Samaria. He's a person in authority, and it takes a leader to take down a leader. I want to say that again. You won't find someone who's in a lesser position, so to speak, that will have the authority or the influence. So it takes a leader to take down another leader. I was speaking with a pastor to encourage him the other day. Lives down the state a little bit. He said, talking to us, he said, a few pastors on the line, he said, I can't understand it. He said, right in the middle of all of this, I made a decision to reopen the church, and one of my board members said, I'm leaving. Well, my dear friends, it's the best thing that could happen. Let me tell you, we had a tornado come through here a few weeks ago, and you know what it exposed? It exposed the strong trees, and it also exposed the weak trees. All around this area, there are limbs that are still all over. I'm talking about up the street right up here. There is a massive oak tree that had been standing there for years. I mean, decades. But now, because enough wind came through. See, not every little gentle breeze will show up everything. But when a strong wind comes, it broke that tree down. And to expose the fact that the carpenter ants had eaten it out from the center, and it was now no good. It looked like it was alive, but it was dying from the inside out. Did you hear what I said? This is a sifting that's going on around us. I truly believe it. The winds are blowing. And for many people, they're finding out their spiritual condition is not enough to be able to stand on the wall. You better get your relationship with God. Otherwise, in this very critical hour, the next sound you're going to hear is not, don't worry about the signs. The signs, we way underpass, if I can say it like that, all of the signs of the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, the next thing that's going to happen is the sound of the trumpet, and your ears better be tuned to it. So these guys, and listen, I want you to understand this. I read this article the other day. Blew me away. In England, I think it was, Europe, they were reopening some of the churches, and they had their regulations. The state was in charge of the church, so the churches had to abide by the state. That it was not a sovereignty there. for the churches. They were told what they could do, when they could do it. So they said, you can open up the church, and here's guideline 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then they made this statement. Listen to me now. They said, you can go in, but because of the coronavirus, you cannot sing in your sanctuary. Can't sing. You might blow air in somebody's direction and they get it. So there'll be no singing in the sanctuary. Boy, I feel like running right through that camera. The governor of Samaria, Sanballat, listen, was a rival and always had been of Judah, the southern kingdom. Judah means praise. So everything the enemy is going to do is to try to so you can't sing, so you can't praise. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever the devil tells you to do, do the exact opposite. If he says sit down, you stand up. If he says shut up, you start talking. Come on, somebody. Because this is exactly the fight we're in right now, to silence the voices of preachers, to silence the voices of the church. But I see the real church now. Not that fake one. Not all those limbs have been looking like they've been saved. When the wind started blowing of coronavirus, had limbs falling off all over the place. But the real church, the real oak tree church, is standing up strong, saying, when the wind is already gone, I'll still be standing in the morning. Why is that? Because Jesus said, that church, listen, the gates of hell shall not prevail against. Too many parallels here for me to be able to bring to you, but the fact is, these two individuals, Sanballat and Tobiah, became the mouthpiece of the devil. And there will be a Sanballat and Tobiah. I've run into it way too many times now myself. And every time you do something for the kingdom of God, there's always going to be a Sanballat and Tobiah to silence your voice. And here's what I want to point out to you real quick before we move on here tonight. They said, the Bible said they were grieved in their spirit. Now, we look at it and it says grieved. We think, well, they maybe started crying because the walls were being built. But that word grieved there means much more. If you want to know if somebody has got some spirit of Sanballat and Tobiah on them, check it out. They were grieved, saddened, but it goes in deeper. They were full of laughter and mocking and wrath and subtlety and compromise. All of that word grieve right there is collected in all that. So you see that attack coming against Nehemiah, and the Bible said they laughed them to scorn and despised them, and they slandered them. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, be warned, earth, because the accuser of the brethren has been cast down. And now people are guilty by accusation. You better be purposeful. Listen, you can tolerate a lot of stuff. I see a Nehemiah right here because the purpose of him going there was to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. If people talk about anything but your purpose, let it go. Move on down the line. When they attack your purpose, stand up and call on the help of the Lord. Did you hear what I said? Write this down. It's on your paper. When Nehemiah heard about this attack, this mocking, he over old arguments, can I say that? The devil only can use your past, misinformation, slander. Nehemiah was not intimidated, here it is, by fear, because his confidence was in God. Now I'm going to help you learn how to pray right here, because I've had to pray this thing multiple times myself. Here's the way to pray. Lord, reward them for their works. Because many times you don't understand, is this God working in my life to strengthen me, to help me? Maybe this attack that's coming, God is orchestrating it to be able to strengthen me. Or it might be the devil himself coming just to kill me. Have you ever been in a place where you've been under attack like that and you pray, God, what's going on? I don't know whether this is you or not. Well, the safe prayer for you to pray is this. Lord, reward them for their works. If it's God doing it, then let his perfect will be done inside of my life. If it's the devil doing it, then let the will of God come down and crush his ugly head. Come on, somebody. When they start recounting the beginning of the rebuilding of the walls in Nehemiah chapter 2 and chapter number 3, There are 38 different leaders, get this quickly, 38 different leaders, 15 different groups of people, and the work was divided approximately into 40 different sections around the wall. Now, that's significant because this work of the building of the walls of Jerusalem is going to be complete in 52 days. You're seeing how it's going to be operating. There had to be an assembly of people come together to work together in unity to make it happen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? These 15 different groups and 38 different leaders couldn't walk up into the church, onto the wall and say, hey, I think I'm going to build it this way. Well, I want to do it this way. Well, I think we're to do this way. That's division. That's two vision, and it will perish. That's the reason why the work was divided into these 40 sections, and it began at the sheep gate, the Bible says. This is a spiritual truth for us to get a hold of because the sheep gate is the beginning of our worship. It starts at the sheep gate and it ends at the sheep gate. You start with worship and you end with worship. Restoring the gates. Now, the gates represent ministries in the church. The gates represent the access going in and out of Jerusalem, access to the city. I want to run this down quickly. It's not on your paper, but I want you to hear this because it's important for you to get a hold of. Every one of these gates represent ministry in the church today. Are you listening out there? Come on. The sheep gate is the ministry to God's people. It's the sacrifice of the Lord and all the different references that you can see in the scripture. The fish gate was the next gate in its order. The ministry to the unsaved, reaching the masses. He'll make us fishers of men, the fish gate. Then the old gate was a representation of the old foundational doctrines. That's a problem we've got today, is that we have strayed so far away from the founding doctrines that we've got just a little bit of anything and everything, and it's killing us. It's time to rebuild the gates of the old foundational doctrines so that we can take the Word of God and our people can take the Word of God and slay the enemy and build the kingdom. I can't preach on there. Every one of these preach well by themselves. There's the valley gate. That is the ministry of compassion. Have you ever been in a valley before? Sure you have. Are you going to be there again? Sure you will. There's an access point to get to God at the valley gate. Then there's the dung gate. If you need me to explain that one, it's the ministry of cleansing, ladies and gentlemen. And there's not a person out here that doesn't need a cleansing. Come on, somebody. I remember B.H. Clendenin standing in this pulpit years ago, and he continually said that all of the sickness and disease of all mankind is found in the septic of the human soul. When you purge, my dear friends, from the old mindset and the sins that so easily beset us, he said there's a place for you to access and get that out of your life. Then you go to the fountain gate, which is the place of refreshing. Look at the order of this thing. The place of refreshing. Then there's the water gate that represents God's word. That is a water to my soul. Come on, somebody. Then there is the horse gate that is the place of lifting of burdens off of my life. The place where horses would bring the burdens. They would bring in the backpacks and the packs of food or whatever it may be, going in and out, bearing the burden. The man didn't have to bear the burden. The horse did. Then there is the east gate. Ladies and gentlemen, if you need to know anything about the eastern gate, it is the gate that is the entrance and access point of the bride of Christ. I stood there a few months ago and looked across the Kidron Valley straight to the eastern gate, and I proclaim to you tonight that all of those gates and all of that wall is shaking, reverberating, waiting for the manifestation of the Son of God, even as I speak here tonight. Just within the past few days, they have found a brand new location near the western wall that they've been digging around that continually verifies that this is the home of the Jewish people and the land where Jesus walked. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to know that Nehemiah was the one who went back to restore back these gates of the city so that we could have a reference here tonight in the time we're living with a pandemic all around us, that it's time to rebuild the walls.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.